This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Plastic Surgery Information Channel. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience simply at eHealth Radio. Today, we are here with Dr. David Rodwell, a board-certified facial plastic surgeon located in Charleston, South Carolina, to talk about using fillers to restore a natural and youthful appearance. Dr. Rodwell, welcome to eHealth Radio.
Eric, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here and be on the program with you and your listeners. Thank you for having me.
And you're more than welcome. The pleasure is certainly ours to have you today. So first of all, how can one lift and add volume to sunken cheeks?
Well, you know, until recently, a traditional facelift or a procedure called a mid-facelift really was the only option for patients. These are still great. We use these a lot, especially in older patients. But for our younger patients and those not wanting a surgical procedure quite yet, we really were at a loss until really a few years ago, until a couple new fillers came on the market. And now we have a variety of really outstanding fillers to choose from. These products are quick, they're safe, there's essentially no downtime. And for younger patients, they're really the perfect option for those patients who don't fall into the category of needing surgery. And even for our older patients who are not quite ready for surgery, but still, you know, seeking to lift the cheeks and restore some of that volume, they're a great option.
Can you combine different dermal fillers and neuromodulators like Botox to improve facial aging?
Absolutely. So there, you have to sort of understand the difference between the different products. The fillers are used to restore volume. Botox and things like Dysport are great for improving the wrinkles that are associated with muscle activity and those expressions that you make on a daily basis. For lifting and restoring volume to the cheeks, there are really three fillers that I like, and I think most surgeons out there keep these in their armamentarium. Those are Juvederm Voluma, Radiesse, and now there's a newer product called Restylane Lift. So Restylane Lift used to be a product called Perlane. It's from the same Restylane family that we all know and trust really well. This new formulation has actually just been recently FDA approved for use in the cheeks for adding volume. So it's a wonderful option to have. But it's really not just the cheeks. When you talk about non-surgical improvement of the face, fillers, Botox, things like that, you really have to address the face as a whole. You don't want to treat one area in isolation. It's better to combine that and get a nice, pleasing aesthetic look with overall improvement. That means combining fillers in other areas, such as the deep wrinkles around the nasolabial folds, areas around the mouth, the lips, and then using Botox or Dysport for wrinkles, such as those between the brows or the forehead or the crow's feet. And then really, you got to combine all that stuff with good skin care, too.
What causes loss of volume in the cheeks and face?
Facial aging in general is really a sort of a multi-step process, and the cheeks are no different than anywhere else in the face. There are really three main categories. So first, there's this general sagging and sort of looseness of tissue, and everything just begins to head south as it does elsewhere in the body, unfortunately. And the fillers address that, but the other issue is volume loss, which we haven't really understood quite as much until the last 10 or 15 years, but there is a significant degree of volume loss in the mid-face in particular that leads to this and sort of accentuates that sagging and loose tissue. And then the third component is changes in the skin. So you lose skin elasticity over time. It's a part of the normal aging process. It's part of sun damage and years of exposure to the wind and the rain and the elements and being outdoors. And all three of those combine to give you that final look that really accentuates the facial aging. So fillers address two out of those three. They don't really address skin changes. But what fillers are good at in the cheeks are restoring some of that width to those high cheekbones that give you that youthful appearance. What happens is that the fullness in the cheek begins to drop and you lose volume, and a lot of that heaviness begins to settle out in the jowls and give you sort of a lower facial heaviness or a square look. And that, even for the casual observer just walking down the sidewalk, they can immediately pick up on that, and it's a sort of a subconscious sign of facial aging. So fillers are designed to restore some of that volume and give a little bit of a subtle lift to the cheeks to give you some of that youthful fullness there.
Thanks for that explanation. Today we are with Dr. David Rodwell, a board-certified plastic surgeon located in Charleston, South Carolina, with us today here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Dr. Rodwell, what is the procedure like, and when will results be visible?
Sure. The procedure is done in the office. It's a very simple procedure. All filler procedures can be performed in the office under under just some topical numbing cream. It requires a series of injections to place the filler material. We place it deep over the cheekbone. So this is a little bit different than what you do for wrinkles around the mouth, for example. And what we're trying to do is restore that high cheekbone look. The main concern, obviously, that patients have is some discomfort. As I mentioned, we minimize that in several ways, really. I use a topical numbing cream that's applied to the skin that sits in place for 15 or 20 minutes and sort of takes the edge off initially. Cold compresses used just before and after the injections are really helpful for patients. And then all of the modern fillers combine the filler material, which is sort of a gel-like consistency, with lidocaine. So lidocaine is a numbing agent, and that comes pre-mixed for additional comfort for the patients. So a little bit of mild discomfort, but most patients are pleasantly surprised that it's really, really not quite as bad as they were expecting, and obviously they're happy to come back and do it again. For patients, the best part really is that those results are immediate, and patients really love that. So that's the best part about fillers. And some, you know, some swelling happens. There's a little bit of bruising that could potentially happen. So you have to wait a week or two for some of those initial swelling and other results to kind of settle out and get your final look. But about 2 weeks to 3 weeks out, you've got a really great appearance. But as soon as you leave the office, there's an immediate change, and that's what people really love. One thing I typically do, though, is I have patients come back around 6 months to a year, and most of them will do a little bit of a touch-up procedure. This is especially important when using fillers in the cheeks. And that'll get them sort of to their optimal treatment level. And once you reach that, the results typically last a year to 2 years. There are some recent studies that show results with something like Juvederm Voluma lasting up to 2 years with great patient satisfaction. So it's a simple procedure done in the office with immediate results and really good long-lasting results that patients are happy about.
Lastly, what advice or recommendations would you give for those considering non-surgical or surgical methods for facial improvement?
Well, this is probably the most important question, actually. We probably should have made this the first one because it is so important for patients to realize how critical it is to meet with someone who can very carefully analyze their facial features and then determine the most appropriate treatment plan. You really have to have an eye for what looks good in this area, and it's not just a sort of cookbook recipe where you use this filler here, this amount for each patient. It's different for each one, and there's inherent asymmetry in everyone's face, and you have to have a really good eye for that. So the core specialties, facial plastic surgeons, general plastic surgeons, dermatologists, those are really the people that you need to go to trust their judgment on this kind of thing. I'm a facial plastic surgeon, so of course I'm a little bit biased, but for lifting and, you know, restoring volume to the cheeks, there's really an advantage, I think, in understanding not only what can be done with fillers, but what can be done with traditional surgical options, like a facelift. It gives such a better understanding of the anatomy and then the pros and cons of fillers like Juvederm Voluma or Restylane Lift, and allows me to get consistently great results for patients with that additional bit of understanding of the anatomy.
Well, Dr. Rodwell, we certainly appreciate your advice and information and insight on using fillers to restore a natural and youthful appearance. If you would tell our listeners where they can find your practice online and how they can be in contact as well.
Absolutely. So our website is charlestonfacialplastic.com, and the phone number here is area code 843-628-1415.
Well, Dr. Rodwell, once again, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us here today on eHealth Radio. Have yourself a great weekend.
Thanks, Eric. Appreciate it.
We've been speaking with Dr. David Rodwell, a board-certified facial plastic surgeon located in Charleston, South Carolina. And once again, the website of reference is charlestonfacialplastic.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.